Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So, like the section that we just worked through together in chapter 2, this section also sort of holds together. It's a coherent whole. And we're going to look at primarily at the sort of introductory couple of sentences this morning, but I want to at least scan all of it. You know, we'll sort of take it all in and see that it is in fact a whole, that you can't just separate those out, although there's a tendency to want to do that. But it's important not to. But then we will come back and work through the rest of this section. I'm not sure for how long. I've outlined a series of 6 sermons. I'm not sure if we'll do 6 or fewer than that or more than that. But we'll see as we go along. But there's so much there. There's such a richness to this. I love this book and have been anxious to get to it and sort of am disappointed that we're already on chapter 3. It's like the summer is going too fast, so is Colossians is going too fast for me, even though you might not think so. But anyway, Lord willing, I'll have years left that I can come back to it sometime. But here in chapter 3, we have to see that it fits together. And it fits together with the whole of the book, of course, but also with what's just come before it. Paul's talked about, which we worked through pretty carefully, the not trying to be a Christian by keeping rules. That's a false way. It looks good. It has the appearance of wisdom, but he says it doesn't really work. It doesn't work principally because it separates us from Christ, puts us in self-reliance, thinking about ourselves rather than focusing upon our salvation and our Savior. And it doesn't work because it just doesn't work. It's not the way to deal with the flesh. And we spent some time belaboring at least one example of that last week, which we'll, Lord willing, touch on again soon, because Paul talks about some sexual sins, and so we need to see what those are and what is the remedy for the true remedy for that and the true view of that. And so we'll be looking at that. But here then, he begins with saying, if then you've been raised with Christ. Now, just one quick note about that. The Greek puts things this way, but it doesn't sound like what it sounds like in English. It's a good translation of it. If then you've been raised with Christ. But probably a better English translation, at least in my opinion, would be since you have been raised with Christ. He's not leaving that matter up to doubt. He's not saying if by some chance you happen to be raised by Christ. He's giving an implication of what went before. He's saying because Christ is the center, because in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, because in him all things hold together, because of the glory of Christ, you are in him, and because you are in him, how then should you live? How do you do that? How do you live in Christ? And if it's not what he just ruled out, then what is it? Some would think, okay, well, then if we're free in Christ, he says, don't follow these rules, touch not, handle not, taste not. So if we're going to not have those, then we can do whatever we want. In some ways, he can. You know, Augustine, the great Saint Augustine, we should have organ music or something. Augustine said, love God and do what you want. He said it in Latin, so it sounded much better than that. But that's about what it amounts to. Love God and do what you want. Well, what did he mean by that? Did he mean you love God and you can do whatever? No, because he went on to say, if you really love God, then what you're going to want to do is serve God. What you're going to want to do is show the glory of God. What you're going to want to do, if you truly love God, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It sounds like a command, but it really was Jesus saying, if you love me, you will. It's not, if you love me, you should keep my commandments. He's saying, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You're going to do it. He said, if we truly love the Lord, we're going to live differently. So Paul says, in this beginning, it sounds so lofty, and it is, but then it's also very down to earth. Right, lofty stuff. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, the position of power and authority. And so we're looking up to Christ and saying, yes, we've been raised with Christ. We're in Christ. We celebrate our salvation. We glory in our Savior. And so you need to focus upon him. And to seek the things above means the orientation of our life, the direction of our life is toward that. It's toward Christ, seeking those things, the things that are above. To seek those things, it means, basically, what's the main point of your life? What's the main direction of your life? Where are you headed? One of those hidden brain things that I've mentioned, a podcast from NPR, when they're talking about language, this woman was talking about this group of people, and New Zealand or one of those exotic remote places, somewhere out there. But there was a group of people who basically don't ever say, how are you? They always say, what direction are you going? And they've developed this wonderful sense that we completely lack here in Western Pennsylvania, where they could say, I'm heading north-northwest. We have no clue. I've learned not to use even directions like that because I've done that. I've been in a sermon and said, if we go due south, and then people will be going, no. So some of you have a better grasp of that than I do, but we don't have that. But they have developed that because that's how they think and how they talk. She even went on to say, if you say if you do say something about how are you feeling or something, they'd say, my southmost leg hurts. Not left and right, but south, or my north leg. So they see everything in terms of direction. So my point is, they know what direction they're going all the time. Paul is saying our ultimate direction should be focused toward Christ. Now, does that mean that all you should do is sit around and meditate on Christ? No. Right? Of course not. But parents, we want to help you say that, man, I'm raising my children because I want to glorify Christ as a mother and a father. I'm trying to raise children to glorify Christ. When we go to work, remember, look at the end of the chapter. Whatever you do, do unto the Lord. So we go to work and we say, is this your ultimate goal? You want to be a great engineer, or you want to be a great teacher, or you want to be a great whatever it is? No, I want to be a great Christian. And I want to bring that faith to bear, but I think Christ has given me gifts in this particular area. So how can I serve Him and serve other people? By being the best at whatever He's called me to be that I can be. That's why you have to see the whole chapter, because otherwise you can read this and say, you know, focus on the things of God that we should just sit around and sing hymns and meditate all the time. And if you're not, you're not really a good Christian, because Paul said, seek the things above. You can be seeking the things above every day. In fact, you are to be seeking the things that are above every day. But it means that ultimately we have a direction that we're moving beyond whatever the immediate thing we're doing is. It's parenting, teaching, whatever. We're looking to Christ, focused on following Him. That's what he says then again. Set your minds on things that are above. Right? Set your minds on things that are above. Now, there's the common expression. I haven't actually heard it in a long, long time. Probably because the church is what the church has become. But that people used to say, back in the old day, you know, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. You hear that? So heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. And this chapter sounds like it could be that, you know, seek the things above, set your minds on those things. So we're so focused on the heavenly things, you know, that we're no earthly good. But it doesn't continue that way. What we should immediately be thinking is how? What's that going to look like? If we're seeking the things where Christ is at the right hand of God, if we're setting our minds on those things, what is that going to look like? And Paul spells it out. Well, then you're not going to be in sexual sin. You're not going to be consumed with greed that is idolatry. You're not going to be filled with wrath and anger and slander and malice. You're not going to be lying to one another. In fact, you're going to be caring about one another. You're going to be caring for each other. You're going to be patient with each other. You're going to be forgiving one another. You say, wait, that's this stuff. I want to hear more about that stuff. That stuff is this stuff. Boy, that's going to go well for the people that listen to the MP3s, isn't it? But those things that are above are worked out in the everyday. You know, there's another old, I guess it's a rhyme, saying, to live above with saints in love, ah, that will be glory. To live below with saints I know, that's another story. You know, so we want the things above. This paragraph sounds good to us. But then Paul goes on to bring it down to earth and say, yeah, the way you work out that setting your mind on the things above is by loving one another, listening to one another, being patient with one another. And it looks like just really practical stuff, and it is really practical stuff, but if you're doing it for Jesus, it's not practical stuff at all. It's working out your faith, trying to grow as a disciple, becoming more like Jesus. Our brother Eric back there is involved in evangelism right now, training program. You should follow him. He sends newsletters. It's very, very interesting. It's one of the things that's so interesting about the approach that he's doing, it's from a guy named Alan Dayhoff, a friend of Cal's, is that when we think evangelism, what's the first thing you think? Right? Take a minute. Don't shout out answers. We don't do that here. But what's the first thing? If I say evangelism, the first thing you think is probably this or some form of this. I don't know what to say. Right? That's the great fear of evangelism, isn't it? I don't know what to say. And the remarkable thing about the approach that Eric's involved in with this Alan is that he said, you know, what you need to do is listen. Learn to listen. Listen to people. Right? Learn to listen to people. That's love in action. Really, really listening to people. Ed Welsh has a new book out that's Steps to Becoming a More Christ-like Community. And so much of what he's talking about there is basically learning how to ask questions and listen to the answers. Ask someone, you know, how are you or how are you doing? And, you know, there's a difference. I've probably asked five people that already this morning. And it's been this way. Hey, good to see you. How you doing? Right? And I don't get much. Fine. I think. They're now over there. It sounded like fine. But if I said, how are you doing? You see the difference? I'm ready to listen to them. I want to hear where they're at. I want to hear what's going on. And it makes an enormous difference. Do we just say it in passing as a nicety, or do we really care about people? Well, if I'm setting my mind on things above, if I'm focused on where Christ is, he listened to people. He loved people. He cared about people. He got to know people. That's working out this thing called Christianity. And that's what we're going to see, in the Lord willing, over these next few weeks as we work fairly slowly through this magnificent passage, that all of that is working out that first paragraph. It isn't something separate. You know, that we set our minds on the things above, and then, by the way, Paul gives all this stuff about dealing with one another. Now, that stuff is setting your mind on the things above. It is not a disjointed, disconnected paragraph, but Paul is saying, since you have been raised with Christ, set your minds up on those things. If you're setting your mind on the things of God, if you're seeing Christ at the right hand of God the Father, the position of power and authority and glory, then more and more you're going to love what Christ loves, which is these people around you that you think not so much. And you're going to hate what Christ hates, which is sin, which we think is not that bad. And so it's going to begin to reform your hearts, right? To reform your values, to see love as important, and caring for people, caring for one another, caring for the lost is important. And sin that we hold dear and cling to often very tightly is damaging and harming that and holding us back from being the people we should be, and we can be, and we must be. So we set our minds on things above by becoming more like Jesus. And this whole paragraph shows us in wonderful ways some examples of doing that. May God bless our studies in these weeks to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word is lofty and high and directs our thoughts to heavenly things. But then you show us that means that we're going to be a different kind of people, a people who listen and love, a people who forgive and care, a people who will risk and venture. Lord, make us the people you would have us be. Shape us by your word and your spirit, that we might work out this heavenly vision by a life lived for Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.